Jan worships me. My wife, Jan, worships me. Early in our marriage, she actually used to bring me a burnt offering every day. She called it supper. I'm absolutely, positively just kidding. Sometimes it's hard to be the pastor's wife because it's your prime target for maybe starting off a sermon. The whole idea is about worship today, though. I mean, and as far as Jan's cooking, excellent cook, has been for decades, the 43 years that we've been married. And if anybody questions whether she's a good cook, the proof is right here. The proof is in the second and third helpings of her pudding, probably. But worship is what I want to talk about today. The actual definition of worship means reverent honor. So not just honor, but a reverent honor that's paid to God. We always think about worship being that. But worship is this reverent honor being paid to God or a sacred person, or catch this, or any other object we regard as sacred. So is it possible for a wife to worship her husband? Yep. Is it possible for husbands to worship their wives? For parents to worship their children? For folks to worship their job, their house, their car? Is it possible for us to worship Hollywood actors or athletes or musicians? I mean, anything that we would put, anything or anyone, we would put up on a pedestal, that's worship. And all joking aside, we want to talk about worship in terms of God this morning. Last couple weeks ago, I preached a message that said, we are back in the building. And then last week, I preached the message that the church is not the building. Trying to get the point across that just because we're not in the building doesn't mean the church is closed, or the church isn't open, or the church isn't effective, because it absolutely is. But what is the purpose of us being in the building? What's the purpose of us being together in a room every week? Well, that's what I want to do, is I want to focus on the three purposes that I think are part of us being together. And the first one is worship. The second one's edification. And the third one is evangelism. And what I'm going to do for this morning's message is I'm going to focus on that very first one, worship. Where in the world does worship appear in the Bible? In fact, I wondered to myself, is worship mentioned that many times? What's mentioned a lot of times? But the very first time worship is mentioned, you go back to Genesis. Well, that probably shouldn't surprise us. It's the first book of the Bible. But the place where it's mentioned, I didn't pick up on this ever. Genesis 4:26 says, when Seth grew up, he had a son and named him Enosh. At that time, people first began to worship the Lord by name. And if we want to remember who Seth is, you go back and remember Adam and Eve had two sons that are named, at least, Cain and Abel. Well, of course, Cain killed Abel. And after that, Eve believed that the Lord gave her another son to replace that lost one, and that son was Seth. And then So Adam and Eve's son Seth had a son named Enosh. And so the third generation of humanity is when the Bible tells us that they began to worship the Lord by name. So for the very first time since the beginning, worship was specific and it was personal. And it was by name. One of the next early times that we see worship mentioned is in Genesis 22:5. This is the story about Abraham and Isaac. We remember that God told him, I need you to sacrifice your son to show your dedication to me, your love for me. And so The next day, Abraham takes Isaac. They go up to a mountain. And at a certain point climbing up that mountain, Abraham turns to his servants and he says this, "Stay here with the donkey," Abraham told his servants. "The boy," and that was Isaac, "the boy and I will travel a little further." And he didn't say, "Because I got to go sacrifice him. I've got to go kill my only son." He says, "The boy and I will travel a little further. We will worship there, and then we'll come right back." No matter what all was going through Abraham's mind about the sacrifice that he was maybe going to have to perform, it was an act of worship, whatever he was about to do. Well, Exodus is the next place we're going to go. Again, in the Old Testament, we remember that when the Hebrews were slaves in Egypt, been slaves for 400 years, so many generations, Moses was trying to convince Pharaoh to let the people go, and they would not do it. So God started sending plagues to the Egyptians. And the plague, Exodus 8:1 talks about the plague of the frogs, the flies, the livestock, and the hail. And here's what it says. "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Go back to Pharaoh and announce to him, this is what the Lord says. Let my people go so they can worship me.'" He doesn't say, "Let my people go because they've been slaves for 400 years. Give them a break." Or, "Let my people go because they're really tired by now." Or, "Let my people go because I say so. I am God." He says, "Let my people go so they can worship me." So worship has been something from the beginning, and it's all throughout the Bible. What I want to do next is take and point out a few things as to why we do this together. Because again, we could worship maybe separately. We could worship at home. Most of you know, while we were on this quarantine, kind of, couldn't be in the building to worship. We were preaching the messages through Facebook, and many of you were catching the sermons that way. You could still do that. So why even come to the building? Why come together? Well, I've got a few things I just want to share that are thoughts that I have as to why we're together versus just doing it alone. The first thing is to remind us that as we come together each time, to remind us that what we're doing is God-centered, Christ-centered worship. The building itself lends a lot to telling us where we are and why we're here. I'm looking here, you guys can't see, but in the back of the church is a picture of Jesus looking up to heaven praying. He's kneeling. But behind me, behind the screen, is a picture of Jesus, I think, as a shepherd. There are crosses, one's behind me. There are things that help us to see God and Christ here. And we want to focus on the fact that it's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That's who we focus on. They're the ones that are on the pedestal for our church and for our worship and for our lives. Coming together to worship as a body, it's about expressing our love by worshiping the Creator. You know, in the Old Testament and New Testament both, is the phrase that goes something like this. This is a command from God. He says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and your mind and your soul." And the New Testament includes all your strength. So loving God. And by coming, just coming, we're showing a love for God. Because I bet you could be somewhere else. And the idea that you come and came together shows your love for God. Love the God, love your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and strength. A third thing is this. We come together as a way to praise God, as a way to adorn Him, as a way to admire Him, as a way to express that admiration. Here's another thing that I think is one of the most wonderful things about corporate worship, and that is right behind me having musicians that can lead us in song, having the words that are written by someone who is inspired by God to share thoughts from the Bible or messages that are given to them by God to put down on paper, to put to music, so that we can not only hear the musicians play, but we can sing along those songs and sing that story, sing those stories of praising God. Let me just share a couple verses from the Psalms that tell us about music and singing. In Psalm 66:4, it says, catch this first word, everything. Everything on earth will worship you. They will sing your praises, shouting your name in glorious songs. I don't know if we need to stop and go through the dictionary and explain what everything means. But the way I interpret that is, it's people, but it's everything else as well. Maybe the everything that worships God is everything we can see. All of nature, all of humanity, all of the universe, the things we can't even see. Another Psalm 100 verse 2 says this, worship the Lord with gladness, come before him singing with joy. And there's something about coming together, because we could sing by ourselves. We could have everyone just take a hymnal home and just, you stay home and worship by yourself, read your own Bible verse, sing your own song. Maybe you can or can't play the piano or organ, and you could sing with joy. But boy, there's something more special when we can all sing together. No matter how well we can or can't sing, just the fact that we're doing it together. Another specific of worship that we can do when we're together, that really, it doesn't happen when we're by ourselves, and that's testimonies. I like the fact of attending a small church where we can do something like this the way we do it. Prior to starting in the ministry, the church that Jen and I had been attending was the South Memorial Drive Church of God. That's where we met Roy and Deb and Emma and the rest of the kids. But that was a huge church. In fact, at one time it was, Jan helped me, but I know it was way over 400.
Getting start having two services because the sanctuary held
350. Yeah, it was so many people, we were having to consider going to two services. And it just so happened that there was a change of pastors. And, you know, sometimes when a pastor, and it was all for good reason, he was going to a different church, no problems or anything like that. But sometimes just a change of pastor changes everything. And in this case, it changed it to where now they probably run about 120 or 30, maybe a Sunday. But what I was going at is when we attended that church and there was some 400 people, 300 and some maybe at each service, you couldn't take time and say, does anyone have a prayer request or praise? You had to contact the church secretary, the administrative assistant ahead of time, and she'd make sure it got typed up in the bulletin or it got put up on an overhead screen for people to read. And there was definitely no time to share praise, not in the service. Once in a great while, somebody might say something. What a blessing it is, though, that we have that opportunity here, that we can take 1 minute or 10 minutes or whatever it takes, because this is part of worship. And what it does is when you say a praise, it's so much better for all of us than the fact of, oh, I was reading a book and a really neat thing happened to some people. And so, or I was listening to a program on TV and something really neat happened to some people. God did this or did that. Here, when it's happened to Richard, or when it's happened to Lillian, or it's happened to Gerald, and they tell the story, That's a completely different dynamic that happens. And when they tell what God did for them, that inspires me to think, I've got problems too, or I've got needs too, or I've got requests too. And if God could do it for these people, I bet he could do it for me. That's something special about us coming together. The next one, I got just a couple, two, three more. The next one is giving. And when we think of giving, we think of having ushers come forward and get the offering plates, and we pass that around. And obviously now with the virus situation, we just leave the offering plates in a place, and you put the money in as you come and go. But the giving that's part of worship is not, that's not exactly all I'm talking about. In fact, mostly what I'm talking about is the other ways we can give. Just you coming is a way of expressing giving, because you're giving your time. You're taking time to travel. You're taking time to be here. But there's giving of talents. You can play an instrument, and so you're giving your talent that way. You can provide leadership to this body, and you're giving your talent that way. You can teach a Sunday school class or a Bible study class, VBS. You can run the computer. You can play guitar. You can sing. There's lots of different ways to give. Maybe you pray for this ministry, and that's one of the ways you give. Well, speaking of praying, that's the next one I have, is that praying is part of what we do as a body. And there's, while again, we could do this by ourselves. We could just stay at home and say, Lord, here's a list. But there's another power, it seems like, that happens when we're in a body together like this during a worship service. And we share, I guess prayer's just choking me up here today. And we're able to share our prayer requests together, so that you don't have to just take that request by yourself. We can lift the burden that you have together. And you know how lifting a burden by yourself is compared to when you have help. Things that are really heavy by yourself, you get another person on the other end, and it seems lighter. You get several people around that item, and if they can all lift a hand, sometimes you feel like, am I even using my strength here? Because it doesn't feel like it. That really makes a difference. That's what praying together does. And the last one is this, the thing that happens when we're together that is special, and that's preaching the word. When we preach the word, when I preach the word, I'm trying to increase our knowledge and understanding of the Bible. And I'm not doing that just so we can be smarter, so that when we have watched Jeopardy, we can get more questions answered. Oh yeah, that was Seth. Yeah, he was Adam and Eve's son. What I hope you can do, what I hope I can do, is take the information that we learn from week to week, and we get better knowledge and understanding, but then we go teach somebody else. Again, going back to we were at South Memorial Drive for some 15 years or so of attending there, and we've attended other churches in the past. But there were some very powerful sermons preached. And I don't know if you think I preach a long time or too short of a time, but the sermons there would last 50 minutes easily, maybe even longer. I don't know about you, but it seemed like after about 20 minutes, I'm not sure how much more water the sponge can soak up, just the kind of way I operate. But so there would be so many things preached. There would be 10 points, and each point would have 3 or 4 sub-points. And I'm thinking, this is all great information, there might be 50 verses of scripture read during the sermon, all wonderful verses, things I need to know. But I'm telling you, I can't remember all those things. That's my problem. I started praying this prayer, and I would ask you to pray this prayer, because even if I preach 20 minutes, I don't know if I can remember everything I said last Sunday. Here's what my prayer is when I'm listening to someone teach or preach. Lord, today, help me get one thing. If they speak for 20 minutes or 2 hours, let me hear the one thing that I need to have. And the reason I want that one thing is to change me, but also to help change somebody else. When I am sharing what I can understand about the Bible with you to increase your understanding and your knowledge, it's for you to take it somewhere else. Because see, when I'm speaking to 20-some people, that's a limited number. Even if it goes out on Facebook Live, that's a limited number. But when we leave this room, 20-some people, and you have the opportunity to connect with somebody, maybe the one thing that the Lord gave you today is the one thing you're going to need to share with somebody else. It's the one verse. It's the one story. It's the one point. It's the one encouragement. Can we worship alone? Can we just go out in a boat and fish on Sunday afternoons and go camping? Absolutely we could, and still worship God. But just imagine other things if we didn't do it as a group. Can you imagine seeing, watching a sporting event where there's no fans? Well, yeah, actually you can now. 3 months ago, if I'd have written that down, that would have been like, well, he's a crazy man saying something like that. Well, now this is reality. Today, a big race is going to happen with NASCAR. My favorite race of the whole year, favorite race track, is Talladega. And as far as I know, they're not going to have fans. Now, you would think, as some sports more than others, if there's no fans at a racetrack, so what? I mean, they're just running around a track, and you can't really hear the fans anyhow. But I'll tell you what changes the dynamics of even somebody watching. There was a golf match that was a few weeks ago where some celebrities and two top golfers, had a match. And they just went out there, and I stopped watching it because it was so boring, not hearing the fans cheering when there's a good shot made. This is kind of the normal, and it really changes the dynamics. But can you imagine playing tag by yourself, or dancing without a partner, having a wedding with no guests, or attending a family reunion alone? Could you do all those things? Yeah. Would you want to? Not me, and I bet not you. Can you imagine a worship service without any other people? What I want to leave us with is this, and there's going to be a, if you want to go ahead and start playing softly, we'll have a chorus or a song that we can sing here to end with. But what I wanted to say is worship with fellow believers, like we're doing today, is really a taste of heaven. Because when we do get to heaven, we won't be worshiping by ourselves. There'll be no staying home, or even if you go camping or fishing, you're going to be with other people for all of eternity. And all together, we're going to be able to sing. And we're going to be able to sing. I mean, we're all going to have great voices. We may all be able to play instruments. I don't know. Gerald, I may have to look you up when I get to heaven and ask you to teach me how to play guitar. I don't know. Or maybe I'll just know. But the singing, the praising, the giving of our talents, whatever it is, this is just a taste of what it'll be like in heaven. And so the last verse I'm going to share is from Hebrews chapter 8, verse 1 and 2. And here's what it says. And it's the main point of this message. We have a high priest. Well, it's capital H, capital P. We're talking about Jesus. We have a high priest who sat down in the place of honor beside the throne of the majestic God in heaven. So the picture is, God is sitting on the throne, God the Father, and God the Son is sitting right next to him on his right side. There, Jesus, there he ministers in the heavenly tabernacle, the true place of worship. This is a good place of worship. If you have a closet in your home, that's a good place to worship. But the true place to worship is a place that we'll go to eventually. And that place was not built by human hands, but built by the Lord. And then in Hebrews 8:5, it says this in closing. They serve in a system, and he was talking about the priests of the law in between those verses, and he says, they serve in a system of worship that's only a copy, it's only a shadow of the real one in heaven. So if we ever think we feel God's presence as we come together to worship, imagine what we'll feel when we are in the presence of God in a whole different way in heaven. Well, let's sing this verse of this song. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Like I've been saying at the close of every service, be blessed and then be a blessing. God bless you.